Washington Island is home to the Albatross Drive-In, which is the best burger in Door County, by the way. The Albatross is where Laura Sawasco spends summers running the seasonal restaurant owned by her family since 1977. And since 2010, Laura has been spending winters in Nashville writing, recording, and performing music. But the path hasn't been easy. At 21 years old, Laura was diagnosed with vocal cord paralysis, and she was told she would never be able to sing again. And determined to prove doctors wrong, Laura Sawasco is releasing her first full-length album in April. On the phone with us tonight from Nashville, Tennessee, is Laura Sawasco. Laura, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And I want to kind of jump in here. I got to find out about this. I love hamburgers. So tell us what makes the Albatross hamburger in Door County the best.
I think it's the best just because all our ingredients are fresh, never frozen. So that meat is as fresh as it can be, and they are hand-formed patties, and I can't tell you much else because it's a secret. But I think that's what makes it the best. And we always say we put extra TLC into it, so that's tender loving care. So you might wait a little bit longer, but it's all made to order. So I'm a standard burger, ketchup, pickle, onion, lettuce, tomato, but whatever you want.
I love it. I love the fact that it's a patty handmade and with the extra love with the pats making the patty. Quality, but I love it.
I guarantee if you go into the internet and you look up their burger, there's a picture of it. It looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Did you get to see? You just go to albatrossdrivein.com and I put some photos up there. So, yeah, you can see our signature burger is the Albie burger with Swiss and bacon. And that might not sound too crazy, but back in 1977, that was. My mom said nobody put bacon on a burger.
Where do you get your beef?
We get our beef from one of our suppliers, Sysco, but we also had a local company. So now our business has become so big, we have to try and keep up.
Right.
Wow.
Now, so, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it's been a while. We're going to be approaching 50 years in 1 year, so it's going to be exciting. Thank you for mentioning it.
Congratulations.
I'm going to have to go up there next time I'm in Door County.
We'll have to tell Schwabo about
it.
Well, Laura, how did you get started playing music? And tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. And I started, I grew up in Chicago, Illinois. So we spent summers in Wisconsin. I have spent every summer of my entire life on Washington Island. So I really don't know what humidity is. So I'm very grateful for that. But music wise, my dad bought my mother a piano before I was born, and she learned to play a little bit, but heart and soul is all she can remember, but she plays it great. So I was begging for piano lessons when I was about 6 years old. So wow. I just was drawn to the piano. So I could play piano and had lots of training and instructors, but I could never project my voice to sing, and I never knew why. It wasn't until I was 21, after many, many doctor's appointments and tests, they said, yep, one of your vocal cords is paralyzed. And I'm like, well, what does this mean? So they said, you can have the surgery so your voice will be louder. It's not as breathy as it used to be, but you're not going to sing. So I said, okay, just do it anyway. So they moved the paralyzed vocal cord in closer to the functioning one. He said, it's like when you like do that to a balloon, it'll kind of make more sound. So anyway, I did that, and he said, I've never seen a patient more excited to have surgery in my life. So I had to kind of learn how to talk first. And
were you already like a singer singing when you got diagnosis? So this,
no, I was not.
So this this was something that you pursued afterwards.
Yeah. So yes, I was. This was after my surgery, I started to sing, and I was just so drawn to various artists like Ani DeFranco, Indigo Girls, and I'm like, yes. So I taught myself the guitar, taught myself how to sing, and the rest is history.
Wow. Did that become part of your rehab then?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. It was frustrating at first because, you know, I wanted to belt it out, but I'm now very grateful for it. I love a, you know, a voice with texture in it. So I'm grateful for what I have.
What kind of limitations does that give you now with your singing career and writing and stuff?
Regarding singing, not much. My range isn't too high. I mean, it's not like I can hit like a high D, but
who can?
So range is who can? Adele, but yeah. No, I mean, I don't have that. I'm not a Celine Dion, but that's okay. Other than that, I definitely need amplification. So if you said, you know, just come to my house and play, yeah, you could hear me, but I would prefer some sort of, you know, amplification. But that's about it. In terms of everyday life, if it's a really loud, crowded area, it would be hard for me to be heard. But other than that, I don't think you would know.
Do you have to do exercises? Like a lot of vocalists will do like run through the chords or the notes, singing, exercising your voice. Do you do a lot of that?
Yeah. Not a lot. I mean, I guess maybe I should do more, but I'm kind of lazy there. I just like to sing the song. And before a show, there's just certain things I think all singers should take note of, like don't eat dairy. This is stuff I used to do in my 20s. So don't drink alcohol. Don't drink anything cold. I won't tell you what I did before other shows. I'd have like a giant glass of red wine on ice, and now I drink my room temperature water. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm pretty boring now.
I learned about 45 minutes ago I shouldn't eat a Hershey's chocolate before talking. That just does not work out at all.
Now, tell us about deciding to move to Nashville, Tennessee. That's a big difference from Washington Island, Door County.
It is, but I'm going to kind of confuse you a little bit more. I went to school at Arizona State University.
Yeah.
So then islands, you know, summers on the island and then go to ASU, Arizona State. And then when I graduated, I just loved Arizona so much. I stayed there in the winters and they had an incredible little community of songwriters. So that's where I was for a lot of the time. So I did release 4 albums there. Actually 5, sorry. So this will actually be my 6th full-length album.
Wow.
And so my 2nd in Nashville. So why did I move to Nashville?
Yes.
Just for the songwriting. I just thought there was a glass ceiling of sorts where I could get paid to play, which is amazing. But, you know, then what? Who's going to discover me? How are my songs going to be more? So I thought, where should I move? And I thought, Nashville. It's in the Midwest. It is Music City. My songs are more Americana, but I thought I could make it work.
What's the business aspect like for you in Nashville? We've had several artists who are from Nashville, from the Wisconsin area, yeah. And they've all had different stories, both success and some failures along the way down in Nashville. How is it working out for you?
Well, I agree with those artists. It's very difficult because we all are, well, I am a small fish in a big pond. So although the artists here make you better because they're that good, so I think my songwriting is better for it, it is very hard to be heard. So I'll say that much. And that can be very frustrating. And sometimes I can't even take it personally because they didn't even hear a note before they ignored me. So just in terms of industry professionals. So I would say that's the hardest part.
Have you had a chance to network with anybody in particular that you're really excited about?
In terms of artists, just the people on the record, like Soraya Campbell, she's so talented. Her songs are beautiful and her voice. But her husband wrote, maybe it was Memphis, Pam Tillis covered. So, I mean, I am in a great network of people, and I love the engineer, Von Lofsted, who recorded my album. So something new about this album, though, is that I have steel guitar for the first time and banjo. So that was awesome. It really brought it to life.
That's a great mix. I love the banjo. I love the steel guitar.
Oh, I know. And I'm like, I never did that before, and it just adds something to it.
Well, tell us about your new album, Not What I Do. It's your, you said it's your 6th full-length album.
Yes.
How satisfied will you be to get that out on the street?
Oh, I'm so excited. There's so much behind-the-scenes work that goes into it. So it's like, oh, it's like giving birth, although I've never done that. But how I can imagine. So April 18th is the birth date, and I'm very excited. I had a lot of backers for this album, so I'm going to be sending theirs out in March. And it was a community effort and a lot of love from all my Wisconsin friends and family.
And so
I'm excited.
And now you write the lyrics and the music, and a lot of times down there in Nashville, it's, you know, teamwork. So tell us about your songwriting process.
Yeah, you are correct. The average song is written by three artists. And though I do love to co-write, and I have everything on this album and my 2019 release, the songwriters, yeah, that was all solo write as well. So what I do is I used to just write it all on a piece of paper, like old school. And now I usually start with the lyrics, but now it's all in my phone, because if it's late at night, you know, I could see it and I could enter something, and it's right. Like a puzzle.
Yeah.
I didn't write the song Home that you just played because I think it was 2020 during COVID. So I wrote it then. And I always wanted to write a song about Wisconsin and the island, but it was on my bucket list. So when the world shut down, I'm like, why not now? And it just reminded me, you know, how much I love the island and how special Wisconsin is. So I could scratch that off my bucket list. It was a single, and now it will be on this album coming up.
Wow. It was really good. How can people...
And what's funny...
Yes.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I want to hear what was funny.
I was just going to say, although piano is my first instrument, I would say I write 95% of my songs on the guitar, because with one vocal cord, I just think it's easier to hear myself when I'm writing them. And it's just a more gentle instrument. So that's all I was going to add to that.
Awesome. How can people keep up with Laura Swasco online?
Well, you're going to have to learn to spell my last name.
Yeah.
So you can see everything.
Okay.
So that's a challenge.
And that's
so Laura.
Yes.
Yep. S-A-W-O-S-K-O. So if you can spell saw and then Osco, Swasco.
Perfect. LauraSawasco.com. Well, Laura, thank you.
Yes, sir. You are welcome. If you go to that, you can watch videos, hear music, all that good stuff.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us on Max Inc. Radio. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I thank you for playing my song.
Oh, you're welcome. And sorry, Rocker. Laura, real quick, though, tell us about the song we're about to hear. We're going to play College Days. I suspect is about ASU, huh?
Yes, it is. And that's going to actually be my first video release this Tuesday, March 4th. So look out for that on YouTube. Just punch in College Days and it should pop up. But yes, this song is so funny. I love tongue-in-cheek lyrics with just dark comedy. And so it's funny. I had to remind my mom. I'm like, yes, I graduated with honors. I had a little bit of fun, though.
A little bit of fun.
It's just all those things. So, yes, I love the lyrics in this song.
That's awesome. Laura, thank you so much. It's Laura Swasco. It's College Days. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
College was the best days when in straight and came out gay. After graduation, had to check into AA. Cause we drank like a fish, like a heavy metal band. Then we'd pull in all-nighter to pass that exam. No, we didn't have a clue about what we were gonna do. And I gained my freshman 15 plus 10 pounds. Nobody complained when this flat butt was round. And I lived off of fast food, carbs and anything fried. But when I had the cash, well, it got super size. There was no eating in when you got a 4-foot fridge.